Blog well, Talk Radio.
Well, well, well. Hello, everybody. Good evening. It is 6 p.m. I am Amos, a nun, the incognito, the black fat. Alright. Enough of that. Okay. So, here's the deal. I'm back. Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the incognito. From a long hiatus, I have arrived somewhere in an undisclosed location, deep in enemy territory, deep in the land of our oppressors, I come to you. Call me if you would like to talk to me. I'm going to be saying some shocking things tonight, folks. I'm going to push the envelope more so than I normally do. And for those of you that have supported Amos A. Nunn, have added me on Twitter, have supported our Patreon, have supported all of our social media, our blog, our Instagram, our Pinterest, our YouTube, our Facebook, our Twitter. Folks, you are phenomenal individuals. Our call-in line, if you would like to call in, is 319-527-069. If you'd like to talk to Amos A. Nunn, the podcast brought to you by First Contact Lead Generation Services. Best data is scrubbed data, folks. If you need some fresh leads for any of your service industries, call First Contact, 1-800, the number, 519-8915. Fantastic company designed to bring business, live business, to service industry owners. And so, tonight, we talk. Hopefully for 2 hours, if I can make it, we ramble, we talk about current events. I know everyone is talking about Kamala Harris. I'm going to get to her. Man, am I going to get to her, because I've been getting to her for the better part of 2 to 3 days. Kamala Harris, my goodness, suddenly a sister. That's almost a TV show, folks. Suddenly a sister. Kamala Harris, first Indian senator sworn in United States Senate by Joe Biden himself. Now, this miraculously makes a conversion, a 90-degree turn into Black American. Now suddenly, I mean, she goes beyond being a person of color. More or less, now she is a... She's a sister. I don't know how this happened, because I've seen her birth certificate. Again, I checked the facts. Kamala Harris's birth certificate, everybody has seen it posted on social media. Her father claimed to be Jamaican, that his race was Jamaican. I didn't know that Jamaican was a race. Mother being Caucasian. Photos of Kamala Harris circulated online show her dressed in Indian garb. And when I say Indian, of course, everyone knows I'm not talking about Native Americans. I'm talking about those folks that originate from India, the country. This is Kamala Harris's lineage. This is what Kamala Harris grew up to accept. And now, suddenly, because they want to pine for the black vote, they have twisted the narrative. They have taken a sharp right turn into absolute falsehood and lie. And I'm hoping that Black America, I'm hoping that ADOS, I'm hoping that foundational Black Americans can make the distinction when the wool is being pulled over our eyes. Again, this is Amos A. Nunn. I am the Black Fact Checker. It is Friday, August 14th, 2020. About 6:05 in the evening, we're following some current events, Kamala Harris being chief among them. I'd like to thank everybody who has increased my followings on Twitter. I'd like to thank everybody who's gone to our patron, who's donated to, you know, just you private folks who've given out of kindness of your heart to keep Amos Amen on the air. And to give you a background of what I stand for, of what this is, Amos A. Nunn is a kind of a twist on the word anonymous. It's what I forever remain. Because I see what they've done to outspoken Negroes in this country. The one thing I can promise you is I will hold nothing back, I will say it. Now, I have been told that I need to tone down on my profanity, and so we'll do so for future podcasts. My past podcasts before this podcast, filled with expletives that I love to use to hammer my point home. Had a long discussion with my producer, Doug Rice, and he has said that I need to bring down the language. And so I will do that. But once I get going, folks, there's no telling what I might say. So again, we promote the agenda. The agenda is the Association of Geographically Enslaved Negro Descendants of the Americas. I know that's a long acronym, but it's what we came up with. And there are three simple principles that guide the agenda. The first, separate. Real simple. Desegregation nearly murdered the black family. Integration was a trap. And so the first principle of the agenda is separate. Second principle is very easy. Educate. Educate ourselves. Do not allow ourselves to be educated by our oppressors. That is the most foolish move I can think of any group of people to do. And we've been doing it for centuries. We must educate ourselves. We must seek out the truth. We must search it out, find it out, and spread it amongst ourselves. That's the second of the agenda. The third and, I think, most vital, most important principle is do no harm, all in capital letters. We must commit as people, as a nation within a nation, as a nation trapped within a nation, to do no harm to one another, as Hebrews, as family. You can disagree, you can dislike, you can argue, you can name call, but we draw the line on physical contact and physical altercation. It is a commitment that the agenda makes. Those are the three guiding principles of this movement. And unlike camp doctrine, which is doctrine unto itself, we count that every person of descent regarding slave trade, the transatlantic slave trade, is already a part of the agenda. So every Negro, I'm not talking about the 12 tribe chart, and I will not, because it's not something that we adhere to. This is a Negro-only operation. If you don't like it, please move on. Just disconnect, stop listening, because that is the line we toe here. And so, this being a Negro-only movement, if you must know pointedly, we determine blackness in this country, which is today's main topic. You know, I got into it with some folks online, got some Twitter madness going on. Folks took exception to the fact that we don't accept Kamala Harris being a black woman in the strictest sense. We know as black people what we're talking about when we talk about this amongst ourselves, which is what this conversation is. One amongst us has nothing to do with Gentiles. When I read the comments and opinions of people who have no cultural connection, nothing to do with our business, I take great exception to that. The discussion isn't whether or not Kamala Harris would make a good VP. I don't care. The politics is irrelevant. What I do take issue with is her asserting her sudden blackness. That, for me, is, I guess, an Achilles tendon. This is not in dispute. We know her record. We know her record as a prosecutor. We know what joy she took in persecuting black people, Negroes, Hebrews, ADOS, FBA in this country. We've seen the photos of her in her Indian regalia. She has no association with black America. In fact, she more associates with the Indian caste system that puts in a lower place and light people in a higher spectrum of society. And so this is what she has been taught. This is what she has been inculcated with. We know this because her decision to marry a white man, and any decision that a Hebrew makes to marry a person who is not Hebrew, is at that moment a direct rejection of who you are as a person. I don't care what you tell me when you talk about love and all these other things. The Creator made it pretty plain. Do not mix with nations. So, that aside, Kamala Harris has shown us who she is. She is being touted as the first African-American woman picked for the VP slot. In itself, a lie. The VP in 1952 was picked in an independent presidential running. And so, you know, in an effort for the Democrats to curry favor and to try to glean the black vote, they put this fraud in front of us and say, she is one of you. But her record speaks otherwise. Her words speak otherwise. The photos speak otherwise. If Kamala Harris had any decency, she would listen to the hum of dissent from us and get in front of a camera, get in front of a microphone and say, hey, I am not a black American. I'm not African American in the strictest sense. I'm not Negro. I am an Indian. I have no association with African-American culture. I did not grow up in that culture, and I don't want it to dissuade black Americans from voting for me because I am a person of color. That is what Kamala Harris needs to say to all of us who take issue with her being served now to us as the great black vice presidential hope. I'm Amos A. Nunn. I am the Black Fact Checker, the incognito again coming to you from an undisclosed location, somewhere deep in enemy territory, somewhere deep in our confined and released state. You know, when you think about where we are in this country and the position that we hold, it's no wonder that someone like me would be creative. I used to be typical black American for the country, love it or leave it, served in the military, the whole deal. I read a book from Hebrew to Negro, and a window opened, let a little bit of light in. I was drawn to that light. I moved toward that light. More education, more books. Went from there to Wake Up to Your True Identity. I ended up somewhere in the half has never been told. And now the myriad of books that I claim in my library have expressed to me the absolute fact and certainty that we are Hebrews trapped in a foreign country, released captives, waiting for our deliverance. These people have absolutely no intention of treating us fairly. And you can see that by how they've treated us thus far. And the odd thing is, folks, and the thing that really gets my goat is that most white people want us to grin and bear it. Tell us that we should be grateful for the abuse that they have pummeled us with. The rapes, the lynchings, the murders, the separation of families, the destruction of our social systems, our families, our financial systems, all to the furtherance of white supremacy and the fear of white male dominance, the fear of losing that white male dominance. That is the affect we have lived with. And today, listen and read as a white man tried to tell us that reparations shouldn't be a discussion, because reparations comes in all the social services that black people get in this country. Well, you see, this is where I have to watch my language. See, now, this is where I fall into a trap. I've got to listen to my producer. I'm going to try to come on. Let me explain something to you. Let me tell you this about that. When they start wagging their wrinkled little fingers at us and start talking about black-on-black crime, and they start talking about blacks murdering each other in Chicago, and they start talking about blacks being murdering each other in the 50% rate and all this other crap, and they ask me to explain, would you, all of these different facts. Please explain them to us. Amos, why so much violence? Why so much murder? Why so much death? Why so much rapes? Why so much crime in African-American communities? That's what you call them. And I got two words to answer every last one of those accusations. You know what those words are? Simple. White people. You have black-on-black crime, black people killing each other at a rate that's exponentially high. You got murder rates that are going out of control. You got crime, drug use. You got unwed mothers, abortions. You got all that stuff happening in the black community. You want to know why that's happening? I'll tell you why, folks. White people. This is a systematically and structured, engineered to give us, I believe, the results that we have thus far. It's an absolute tragedy. It's a travesty. And every time a white man says, well, you black people treat each other so poorly, the crime rate in your neighborhoods and the drug use and the abuse and the domestic violence and the jails and the prisons. And you know what? I look at him and go, let me tell you something. And shut your mouth while I tell you. Okay? The fact of the matter is, everything that black people in this country do, every act, every crime, everything we do is a direct reflection of your instruction. A direct reflection of where you have guided black people in this country. Let me explain. Let me go deeper. Because I'm checking facts. Here they are. You took a people, stole a people, you purchased a people, clear on the other side of the world. People that had nothing to do with you, didn't know you, didn't know enough about you to either like or dislike you. You purchased human beings from the other side of the globe in an effort to build a country that you stole from another group of people. Now, here's the tricky part. You took these people and you stripped from them any identity that they may have brought with them. Any of those individuals that showed a proclivity toward not wanting to be stripped of that identity was immediately murdered, was immediately destroyed. You handed us an identity reflective of your own. Then abused us to a degree unmatched in human history. Some of you had some pity, maybe a few bits of common sense, and then determined you wanted to release us, because I don't call it freedom. So you released us with no guidance, no structure, no plan, and immediately thereafter devised a system to reclaim us in a different fashion. When we showed promise financially, when we built up our own communities in rival to your own communities, you firebombed our financial institutions. I don't even have to mention Tulsa. Everything that we've done to advance ourselves, you have sabotaged continually and expertly. And so when a white man tells me that black people should, I tell him that white people shouldn't. Don't wag your wrinkled little finger at me telling me what black people should do while behind the scenes and sometimes in front of it, you do everything possible to maintain white supremacy in this country. And don't tell me that I should grin in your face and accept it and say nothing. That's what we're dealing with today. And the fact that Donald Trump is in office is a reflection of the attitude of white people in this country and their disdain for us for no other reason than we exist as a reminder of their crimes. That's what we suffer at the hands of these white people in this country today. There is no other explanation for white people to get aggressively actionable at the sight of black people. Something is going on in their minds. Something is wrong. How many times do I have to read reports of white people coming unglued because black people are in their presence? It's increasing. And they feel, I guess, sometimes an entitlement to use that N-word toward us. And that comes with severe consequence, time and time again, as well it should. We are at a crossroads. We are somewhere in time that an event is on the precipice of becoming. All of us need to maintain an alert attitude. All of us need to stay awake. I need you to know, brothers and sisters, that none of them are playing. I don't care how many of them are your friends. I don't care how many of them grin in your face. My advice to you is that you feed every last one of them with a long-handled spoon. It's not a dislike, it's caution. There's no malicious intent. I'm not calling for armed conflict. In fact, I'm calling for the opposite. I'm calling for retreat. Folks, listen. If you don't know that you need to keep away from these Gentiles, then you are either walking around with your eyes closed or you are on their side. And so, I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the incognito. Again, today's discussion will be the current event Kamala Harris. I think we've addressed that. Our last show, we talked about Oprah a little bit. There's really been no advancement there. I noticed that Oprah tweeted about a conversation that needed to be happened. Meanwhile, maintaining a no-comment status on that very tweet. I don't even understand. Oprah Winfrey is so bought and paid for. It's Black people cannot look at Oprah and take her seriously anymore. I mean, you've got to think. This is a woman giving parenting advice who's never had a child, giving weight loss advice who can't seem to keep off the weight, giving relationship advice, she's never been married, and telling people how to live on a budget, and she's literally never really been poor. I mean, folks, everything is bass backwards, and we need to be attentive to that at this stage in history. Tell you another thing. I don't know if you guys are really paying attention, because the media is so controlled. We're all focused on Kamala and Trump and what's going to happen with this virus. But you know what they're not talking about? They're not talking about the fact that Turkey and Greece are just inches away from a shooting war over oil, over resources. I mean, as I speak, it is 6:26 p.m. on the 14th of August 2020, and Greece and Turkey are so close to declaring war, it's almost prophetic. Well, it is prophetic, isn't it? I also listen to and promote a ministry called the End of the World Ministry, TL Ministries. That and a brother, his name is Minister Dante Fortson, a tremendously skilled writer, a published author of renown. I can't say enough about Dante Fortson, Minister Fortson, and I've said it before. There are men of God and there are godly men. I'm not a godly man. I'm a man of God. I'm not a godly man. I don't put on a front. Mr. Forson and the folks at TL, these are godly men. These are the folks that we need. I'm here just barking it out. These folks are instructing us. And today's TL ministry YouTube was, interestingly enough, about the destruction of America, the upcoming prophetic destruction of this country, and where we're at in that timeline. It was interesting to note that they brought into this discussion the conflict between Turkey and Greece. We've been playing news clippings, recently as the 12th of this month, 2 days ago, 2020. I only mention it because it seems odd to me that we've not heard anything about this conflict or this potential conflict on the news. It's nowhere in mainstream media. You have to go to outside sources to find out this, I think, foreboding news. Two rather large, I believe, nuclearly equipped countries are going at it in the Mediterranean, and we're focused on the election and COVID-19, and Donald frickin' Trump. I didn't curse. So, to further that, if it pops off, if something happens, we're going to be so far behind in the knowledge and information loop. I don't know how that might affect the outcome or how we respond to it. And then, of course, we have the number one clown of the universe running things right now. The perfect reflection of white America is in the Oval Office right now. And there's no telling what that clown might do. So we're at a very precarious place in history, folks. We're on the precipice of something. An event is soon to happen. And I only hope, I only pray that all of us are caught aware. The amount of study that I try to do now, it's picked up a bit. Again, I'm not a godly man, a man of God. So, I give it as much due attention. I'm not a Torah follower, so please don't crucify me for that. But I will tell you that, the earthquakes, the pestilences, the diseases, the wars and rumors of wars, the loss of affection toward one another, being cooled, these things, all of this points to an upcoming and eventual event soon to occur if scriptures have any validity, and I believe they do. And come on, folks, let's look at it honestly. This country, America, built on the backs of slaves, built from land stolen, taken. Not a single treaty did the United States honor with the natives that were here before they arrived. There's no fair play in the creation of this country. And to take it one step further, it is my assertion through study that this country was created to hide us, to conceal the true Hebrews on this planet. Did I mention that I assert that ADOS, Negroes, foundational Black Americans are Hebrews and not those imposters that are currently occupying Israel? Those folks are from Europe. They're Ashkenazi converts. They have absolutely nothing to do with the dark-skinned Negro Hebrews who were Israelites. And so, the country that we currently occupy, the country that we are right now trapped in, we are nothing more than released captives in this country. I need you to understand what the Emancipation Proclamation was. It did not free us. It released us and left the door open for our recapture, which occurred just a few years later. The Dred Scott Law, claiming that we are not even fully human, still on the books. And I'm not saying this to be inflammatory. I'm only stating the facts. This is who we are in this country. This is our place here. And make no mistake, this country was not created, not built for our occupation and enjoyment. And I'll say that as clearly as possible. This country was built for white, male, racist supremacists, slaveholders, people who thought that white skin was somehow superior to black skin. That's who built this country. Founding fathers, my ass. Let me explain. And again, folks, we're discussing, events, past and present. And this term of endearment that I hear white people say, our founding fathers, in reference to, of course, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, all the old fuddy duddies that have long since turned to dust. They talk about John Adams and Jefferson and Washington, and they talk about them with such pride. These people were cowards. Let me explain something. They left a country they did not like. The circumstances for them were unbearable. As opposed to beginning a revolution in their country, they ran over to this country, thousands upon thousands of miles away, stretching out the resources of the country they were at odds with, fought to be released from that country so that they could then own slaves and just do any fucking thing they wanted to here. Did I curse? I'm sorry. I'll try not to do it again. Okay, so that's what happened. A group of white racist men escaped a country where they didn't like the king taxing their money, rich dudes. They funded an expedition here, stole the property of the current occupants, enslaved a group from thousands of miles away, and built the country. And the country wasn't made for us. The country wasn't made for anybody that looks like me. In fact, the country wasn't made for some of the folks that claim the country was made for them. These Italians and Polish and Czechoslovakians and Russians and Chinese all claiming America is their land in the 1920s weren't even considered white. The country that you occupy. And the problem that I have, the reason that I do what I do, is because we are told that we need to walk about this country aloof with our minds not on the facted history, which is recorded so well. Pay no attention to the crimes that we've committed against your family and your ancestors and your descendants, and most recently just your grandparents. Pay no attention to the fire hoses and the attack dogs. And pay no attention to the pointy-head white men walking around with robes. You know, hey, disregard, you know, Emmett Till. Pay no attention to the fact that the white woman who had him murdered is still alive today. And try to get along. You guys live in the past. This is what they tell us, as they tell us with the same breath to never forget the Holocaust. As they tell us with the same breath to, you know, remember the Confederacy. Let's not, that's our heritage. But slavery, man, that happened a long time ago. I didn't own any slaves. Really? But your founding fathers, you're proud of them. Look, folks, this is a simple discussion. This is not going to end well for the United States. I think we all see that. If we don't see that, then we're not looking. The United States is on a downward trajectory with a madman at the helm. And I'm completely lost when it comes to what white people see in this orange toad, this disgusting child rapist in the White House, a man who cheats on his wife with porn stars and pays them off, a man who doesn't pay his bills, a man who bankrupts casinos. White people consider this man a winner. I'm literally at a loss as to what is going on in their mind. And the only conclusion that I can come to is that they are being fooled by unseen forces. Somebody, something is influencing them. Because, look, I don't dislike white people. I don't like what they stand for. Get that right. So when I see what seem to be relatively reasonable white people look at Donald Trump and say what great a man this person is, I begin to wonder what's the disconnect between what they're seeing and what's actually going on. Because there is nothing great about that piece of filth in the White House, except that he's a great piece of filth. That's where we are in this country. We got white people that are delusionally following the most rancid piece of white trash that's ever occupied the Oval Office, and they're loving him. And what's interesting is, like cannon fodder, like sheep, they're all just moving in unison toward the cliff, happy. That's where we are. I'm Amos A. Nunn. I am the Black Fact Checker. I am the Incognito. This particular podcast brought to you by First Contact, where scrubbed data is best. If you are in the service industry and you are looking for leads that are just a cut above the rest, check out First Contact. They have a survey process that yields the best data. And I think I think you do well if you are in the service industry, you use their services. FirstContact.com, no vowels. Amos A. Nunn. I'm back. So, folks, listen. What I try to do, first, I don't keep a scheduled show yet. I have had some veiled threats. There are people that do not like what I do. There are people that do not like what I say. The incognito part does not mean I am not reachable. My email address is amosanunn@gmail.com. I'm on every social media platform from Tumblr to Reddit to Blogger to Instagram to Pinterest to YouTube to Facebook to Twitter. So I'm not hiding. I'm just remaining anonymous to my own safety, because we all have seen that nuclear white boy that goes crazy and shoots a crowd of people for no apparent reason. I don't need them seeking me out trying to do harm to me, because I will kill them. So keep both of us safe. I maintain anonymity. But I'm reachable. And I've had people say and profess and suggest some real vile things. You know, the one thing I can tell you about the white race is they have perfected hatred. They have perfected not only hatred, but they've also perfected the teaching of hatred. That's what they're best at. That and lying. It's what these people do. They hate and they lie. That's a horrible combination. And they've been doing it so long, they expect us to simply accept the hate and the lie and just move on as if things are happening as usual. If you disturb the status quo, if you determine that you're not going to accept their behavior, that's where the problem comes in. Now, listen, folks, I really don't talk just to hear myself talk. I like what I do. If you want to call in, if you want to be a part of this podcast, you can call me at 319-527-6069. Again, I'm Amos A. Nunn. I'm going to do the show whether people call in or not. And we're going to get as much momentum as we can get, because the one thing we've been long enough is silent and accepting. That's the one thing we've been long enough. It's time that we get vocal. It's time that we hear one another. I don't care if they hear me, because if we continue to wait on white people to change other white people, we will be in the same position we were in the 60s, in the next 60s. They are not going to change. We must change what we do in relation to them. Part of what the agenda calls for and its first principle is separation. And I'm not talking about a separation that alienates. No. I'm talking about a separation that is subtle, tactful, and expresses our desire to maintain a safe and comfortable distance from them emotionally, mentally, and physically. Listen to me. They don't want us around them anyway. What's odd for me is that when I express a desire to maintain a distance, that's when their aggression really comes to bear. Nothing triggers
more than rejection. Remember that. Nothing triggers them more than rejection, which is why it's important to stay away from them, because there's a problem. And look, effectively the problem is their own psyche fucking with them. I cursed again, I'm sorry. But it's an absolute truth. You know, a quiet black person that doesn't reveal their thoughts, that doesn't talk, that for them is a serious problem. If they don't know what we're thinking, it makes them very uncomfortable. That initiates a conversation from them that you avoid, which makes them even more aggressively seeking to be heard and seen. The more you try to maintain a distance from them, the more they try to approach you. The strategy is making your availability non-existent and maintaining it for your own safety. For God's sake, folks, how many videos do I have to look of Karens who see a black person? The latest is a black couple. They were touring the home they had just purchased. And a white man came up to this couple and decided that he was going to call the cops. He didn't ask any questions. He just assumed that they were there robbing or doing something. They were there just touring the house that they purchased. And what's bothersome to me is that the ones that stay silent, these are the ones that tell you, that's not me, man. Don't tell me that's not you. Go talk to the person you know it is. Don't talk to me until you get your own house in order. That's what this separation is about. That's what separate is about, folks. That's the first principle of the agenda. Separate. Well, I don't need to hear a word you say until you turn your attention to these people in your ranks that have this racist sentiment and destroy them. I don't need to hear a word you have to say. That's what I'm talking about. That's the separation I'm talking about. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact